cool. I was sitting with him in his house. He brings out one of his snakes, and we're just talking. Next thing I know, John, where'd the snake go? It just started to disappear into the couch. And that's why serpents are dangerous, because they slide right up and don't draw attention to themselves. And that's exactly what the devil did. Now, you have to understand, when the devil comes, he doesn't present himself as the devil. He doesn't present himself as Lucifer. He knows that if he walked right up and knocked on your door and said, he's all red and he's got a red suit and pitchfork and horns, and he says, hi, my name's Satan. Well, yeah, Lucifer, actually. And do you mind if I just come into your life and just pretty much ruin you? I got all these tricks up my sleeves, and I just pretty much want to destroy your life. You would say, well, of course not, and you'd shut the door. So he knows that if he presents himself frontally, we'd have nothing to do with it. So what he does is he comes at us from all these other different angles. And so what we have to understand here is that we fight an enemy of guerrilla warfare. We fight an enemy that doesn't present himself as the devil. Now notice this. His number one disguise, though, is not a serpent. His number one disguise is actually you and me. And I'll use the scriptures. And it's in Matthew 16, verse 14 through 17. I'm about to go into what I call evangelistic flip mode. So if you can't keep up, write these texts down. I'm going to be flying through these things. Now, Matthew 16, 14 through 17, I'm just going to summarize it for you. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he says, who do people say that I am? And he says, well, some say that you're Elijah, and some say that you're John the Baptist. And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father has revealed that to you. And it's just moments later in verse 22 that he says, I must go. Now that was God's voice. Now I must go and be, you know, betrayed and crucified for the sins of the world. And Peter gets up in his face and he says, that will never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Now the question is was Jesus calling Peter Satan? And the answer is absolutely not. See, Satan had slithered right up into Peter's ear and was whispering thoughts now that were inconsistent with the word of God. That's how you know that it's his voice. Jesus said, your thoughts are not on my thoughts, but it is on your own interest. And that's his open door, self-promotion, selfishness, self-whatever. That's how he gets into our life. And he slithered right up now that those thoughts were inconsistent with what God's word had said. Jesus was going to die for the world. Jesus was going to pay the price for you and me. But Peter, in his own flesh, didn't want to see any of that happen. So, I just want to turn to one text. Actually, 2 Corinthians 11:13 says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, there is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, Satan presents himself as all kinds of forms, and it's our point now to discern. We need to use the Word of God to discern what type of form that he's using. And how do we do this? 2 Corinthians 10 tells us the answer. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 10:4, we'll uncover how we can tell in this guerrilla warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now that's the context of this 2 Corinthians. And verse 5, this is it. Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's the key. Any thought that you do not take captive will take you captive. We must be putting on the mind of Christ. When we put on the mind of Christ, it literally means every thought must be under what God says about that thought. And we can't do that unless we're daily putting on the mind of Christ. Unless we're daily, totally, completely surrendering to his will. That's how we do it. You can't submit yourself to a master who's not your master. But when we do that, when we've submitted our will to the Lord and take every thought captive, that comes into my mind to the Word of God, that's how we do it. That's how we realize what thoughts. I want to say the thoughts that come into your mind are one of three things. They're either yours, the devil's, or God's. They're just one of those three things. Well, how do you know if they're yours? Well, if they're your thoughts, they could just be, you know, random thoughts, not necessarily in disagreement with the Word of God. If they're God's, they're always full of love and truth, and actually from the Scriptures leading us to the Word of God. Well, how do we know if they're the devil's? Well, they're always inconsistent with this. They're always trying to manipulate us or tempt us into sin. They're always twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction. So step one in the devil's scheme is actually to put thoughts in our mind that we think are right, thoughts that we think are pleasant, never to tell us that these are his thoughts, that they're there to destroy our lives. And it's our point now to discern, to use discernment, listening under God, what God has to say about every thought that comes into my mind. Step two. This is step two in his playbook now. Isolate the target and attack one by one. See, Satan doesn't want to attack in groups. It says in Genesis 3:1, he said to the woman, he said to Eve. He did not say to Adam and Eve. He knows that if he tries to tempt you in groups, you have a less likelihood of sinning. So he likes to attack individually. He likes to get you alone. He knows that if he can get you alone, he can isolate you, then he will be able to tempt you into that